something that is really important when it comes to like creating stuff. Mm-hmm. Very similarly to you, I think like when I was younger, and this is actually also, it seems to be a common theme whenever I've talked with like professional artists about their creative practice, like one of the common themes often is like letting go of perfectionism or letting go of the idea that the first try is going to be like the best, and there's not going to be like, you know, there's like there will be nothing like it afterwards. A lot of the times it's like, okay, well, I did it. I did it. That's good enough.
Yeah, which is amazing. Like, I think I was telling you about this before we started as well, is like, or maybe earlier, and that like everyone else who sees what you made doesn't know what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't know like what you wanted to look like. They only see it and they think, wow, they made that. That's so cool that they put in the time and effort to do it. And you should be really proud of that. Because people love art and people like pay for it. They travel for it. They admire it. They live for it. And it doesn't matter like what you saw in your mind. It just matters that you made something because it's beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with that. Recently, well, I mean, basically everybody who knows me at this point knows I went to see Twice. And it was awesome. But
life-changing.
It was amazing. But I'm, for the concert, a lot of people like to kind of, like, dress up in some way that, like, pays homage to, like, a look that they had in a music video, right?
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So, one of the most recent music videos that Twice had was for the track called This Is Four. And in it, they're wearing, like, this red crocheted outfit.
Whoa.
It's, like, you know, like a
did you crochet it? Oh my god, did you?
Well, not the whole outfit, but I did try to crochet like the like a hood that kind of looks like the hood that they're wearing in the music video.
That's cool.
And I shared it online on this like Discord that I'm a part of, and the people are like, oh my god, this is great. Like, and somebody was like, you know, I also went to the concert, and I wish I did this, but unfortunately I have zero crochet skills.
Aww.
And it just felt, for me, it felt kind of like, oh, okay, well, it's time to reveal the truth. Like, actually, when I took this photo of me wearing the hood...
Ruined their dreams.
Yeah. Basically, when I took this photo of me wearing this hood, actually, I had to do it, like, three times to, like, make it look kind of like... similar to the hood. And then I was so dissatisfied with how loose it actually was in some parts, I took half of it apart and then I had to redo it again for the actual concert. Wow. And actually the one that I took for the hood that I actually wore for the actual concert, for me it is better than what I had before. But like, it didn't like come out of thin air, right? Like I was like very frustrated making that thing, you know? And I think that's okay a lot of the times. I think a lot of people, we live in like a world that like really emphasizes like efficiency, perfectionism, productivity, and making things good so that it can kind of like turn a profit immediately.
Yeah.
It can hinder people, I think, from developing the skill of like patience and like pursuing making something despite failures.
No, totally. I think that's like a really big barrier as well. It's like this idea that like whatever you create has to have a purpose, has to be profitable, has to be like something that has value, like in a way. And like that value is like very specifically defined and really constrained and really stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you can just make something, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just for the enjoyment of, like, making the thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say that, like, doing your show is, like, your biggest creative outlet? Or...
I would say it's... At this point in my life, I think, like, it is the thing that I do the most consistently. So it's kind of hard to say that it's the biggest. It definitely has a big impact because I have to do it. And I choose to do it as regularly as possible. But for me, Similarly, I really like drawing, and I also like writing poetry.
Yeah, you had this beautiful zine for Fun Drive in the fall, which was so fun.
Wow, thank you. That is so kind. Okay, we can talk about that afterwards. But no, yeah, like, you know, going back to whenever it comes down to like drawing and like writing, those are the things that I really enjoy the most. I remember, even though the first couple of years of the COVID-19 pandemic were freaking awful, they're just terrible. I was unemployed for like a year and a half.
Whoa.
And I took a lot of that time. Most of that time went into volunteering and doing, you know, kind of like community related things. But whatever other downtime that I had, I spent it all on like, basically like drawing.
Oh.
And during that period, my drawing skills like improved a lot.
Wow.
And it was like, it was really exciting to see, because when I go back through my sketchbooks now, I can see like there is a big leap in technique and quality from, you know, like late 2019 to like early 2022, when I like could not invest as much time into like drawing anymore. Yeah. But it is also like, yeah, I don't know, it's like it's like really exciting to see, right? Like when you like work consistently at like a skill or a craft, like eventually you do see the results of like practice. And It can feel like kind of like disheartening sometimes to know that people are like, oh, it's all just talent. But no, like you need time. You need time. You need resources. Time is a resource. But, you know, you need time. You need patience. And you need to put in the actual work to do it.
Definitely.
And oftentimes only then will you like begin to like see like, oh, some kind of result. I don't necessarily feel that I'm an excellent artist or anything like that, to be I mean, to be very fair, I think that's the essence of being an artist, is like everything that you make, no matter how much you've improved from day one, you're gonna feel like garbage about it.
Yeah 100%.
ChatGPT would never give you that. Generative AI could never give you that. No.
Narcissistic.
Yeah, exactly.
Evil.
Yeah, but like having seeing those like increments of like improvement is like really,
that's amazing,
exciting.
Yeah, no, that's really cool and special that like you have that, and that you can like, that you're able to like look back. So I feel like that's really cool.
Have you ever had a similar experience before, whether it be like painting or like any other type of like creative thing that you've engaged in, where you like, where you are at now, you look back to like day one and you're like, wow, that's a big change.
I guess like when you were talking, you reminded me of how like, I feel like, to be honest, my skill hasn't improved that much, but I think my style has improved, and like to a place that like I enjoy it a lot more. Because when I first started, when I was like really enjoying painting and art, when I was like in middle school, I guess that's when I got really passionate about it. Like I would honestly like, my practice would just be copying photos of things that I thought were cool and that I liked, and like I put all my time and energy into making it look quote unquote perfect and like the image as much as possible, which I found really satisfying and like a way to kind of like, as a way to like practice control as well. I find it really calming, but like at the same time, like what I wanted to make and what I dreamed of making, like I was always very bad at drawing it. So I think I kind of started to ignore it. But then once I started to like embrace it and embrace like what I wanted to paint, which was like fantasy and like little comics and just like people and, well, and just like random people, like that's when I kind of started to like let go. And even though I don't paint that much anymore, like it's pretty sporadic right now, like I really enjoy it. And that's, I think, and I think that's what matters for me.
Would you feel though like switching styles, though, does also say something about the improvement of your technique, though.
That's true as well, yeah. That's a good analysis, I think. That's true.
I'm just saying things, Sasha.
You're not an art critic?
No. I know. At one point in my life, I think I tried to be like, I tried to pursue like artistic snobbery of some kind, maybe. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like, I don't. It doesn't matter. I think I just like whatever I like. Yeah. You know.
No, I think that's like really what it is. Like you like what you like, no matter like the quality of it. No matter like as long as it.
Well, I think quality does matter.
Well, the quality does matter. Yeah, but I think there's just like. Or just like quality, like it's very subjective. Like what people like,
mm-hmm. quality,
and like what they consider good, is very different. Mm-hmm. It varies, I think, a lot.
Mm-hmm. I guess like quality as in skill matters, but like quality as in like what it actually looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
And what the emotions that it like stirs and right. stuff. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that is subjective.
Got it. Clarified.
Yeah.
All good.
We could listen to a little bit of music right uh-huh. now before we continue to dissect this topic around mm-hmm. creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll also hear us talking a little bit about the upcoming SFU student referendum, which yes. has impacts about with regards to creativity and specifically our organization.
Yeah, huge so, impacts.
Mm-hmm. Stick around for that. Let's listen to Kazdura with And Then, the latest from them. Enjoy.
Thank you. This is Bird Note. There is strong debate about whether pet cats should be kept indoors or allowed to roam freely. But outdoor cats kill billions of birds each year in North America, and they live much shorter lives than indoor cats. That's why cat behaviorists like Animal Planet's Jackson Galaxy advocate for keeping our cats indoors.
At the same time, that does take away from their lives in a pretty significant way. They wake up every morning needing to go and kill something. So, what do we do?
Jackson says it's essential to enrich the life of an indoor cat. And first on the list is committing to a play regimen with them.
Not just waving a wand around. It's about committing to the game. You're role-playing, you know? It's method acting. You are a mouse. You are a bird. Get into it.
Just 15 minutes of play can make a huge difference in your cat's life. Next up is enhancing their indoor environment.
We start with the concept of cat TV. Make the windows a destination. Put bird feeders near the window. You're giving them that ability to sort of passively engage with their raw self.
It takes some work on our part, but both our cats and the birds are worth it. You can learn more ways to make your cat happy indoors on our podcast, Bring Birds Back, sponsored by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Listen in your podcast app or at birdnote.org. I'm Mark Bramhill.
Love learning about how to make sure that your cat lives a great life indoors.
Cat equals life. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How true. Hey, it's Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm joined by Sasha. We're talking
Hello.
About being creative people just for fun.
Yeah.
As a side note, how do you feel about being called like an artist?
Ooh. I think it feels like a lot of pressure to me. Especially like because my mom, like, for some reason has always been really obsessed with the idea that like I'm an artist. And even though like she's like supported me a lot in it, and just, like, I'm really grateful for that, because I think like having that is like a real privilege. There's a lot of reasons why I could even do art, but also like I think there's just a part of me that's kind of like a bit rebellious, or like, oh, like I don't like being put in a box. Like, I don't really know who I am yet. And I feel like saying I'm an artist is like, okay, like I need to commit to that. And I always need to be creating. I always need to be making great things. When in reality, like, I just want to make things. Like, I just love making things.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Personally, like, I feel like I've always felt quite wary of calling myself an artist, just because I think, like, in my brain, the title of artist feels so bougie.
Honestly, I get that. Like, it is, like, oh, like, I'm an artist. Like, yeah, it does sound
I'm an artiste.
Quite sushi.
Yes, yeah. With like a little accent and an E at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not that. I'm just a girl who likes grandma activities, in my opinion. Like,
same. Oh my god. Yeah. Yes. I'm gonna peak in old age. That'll be my moment.
Same.
Literally. Like, my, like, what I like doing, the way I act, like, I'm so ready.
We're just a couple of little grandmas.
Yeah, we're just waiting for our bodies to catch up.
Oh, mine's already pretty caught up, honestly. Maybe it doesn't look like it yet, but, like,
inside,
yeah,
you know what's going on.
I have a lot of chronic pain.
Oh, no.
But, hey, let's talk specifically. beyond just that now. You know, we've been very fortunate, I think, as volunteers of the station, to have a lot of free rein to do whatever kind of like we want, especially as programmers.
Totally.
You know, CJSF is such a great hub for people to like get together, build community, but it's also a really great place for folks to explore their creativity
100%.
And to engage with other people's like creative work. there is a student referendum coming up.
I'm not sure when it is. It's very soon. We're putting in the works now.
Yeah, it is, I believe, happening February 10th.
Yes.
No, don't say yes yet. I haven't found it yet.
You didn't hear that. I did not say the Y word. But yeah, it's basically for the undergraduates here at SFU. And as someone who is an undergraduate right now, currently, I only have two semesters left here, but I want to end on a good note, set up my peers for a great university experience, because referendum is very important. And basically, the gist is that a big part of the funding here for the station comes from student levies, just like student fees, and it has not been updated since 2008. Like,
since the last economic crisis.
Yes, and which is crazy.
Yeah, we're like in a huge economic crisis right now.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, yeah. No, but like, think of it as well. Like, things have been getting more and more expensive. Everything has been. And our fees have been stagnant. Like, nothing's been happening. We've persevered. And like, the station is so strong and is amazing for being able to continue doing what was speaking even so little. And as well, I want to mention, like, the referendum, like, it's not even asking us to, like, give you that much more money. It's not like, okay, like, now it's gonna be $20. Like, it's not. It's literally just a dollar and how much is it? Like, $1.50?
I believe it is $1.50 for full-time students.
Yes.
And 75 cents for part-time students.
Yeah, which isn't that much.
And that is, like, that will cover the entire semester, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your student fees, if you are a student at SFU, your student fees have gotten more and more expensive throughout the entire time that you are studying. And it's going to continue to get more expensive for people who come after you. It was incredibly expensive for me.
Yeah.
And I was an alumni of this school. But those expenses are not always allocated equitably or fairly. So it's going to be us, CJSF, The Peak, the student newspaper, Embark Sustainability, and Simon Fraser Public Interest Research Group, SF PERG, who are asking you, undergrad students, if you support increasing the fee for each of CJSF, Embark, SF PERG, and The Peak by $1.50 per term for full-time students and 75 cents per term for part-time students beginning in fall 2026. You know, I think it's fairly reasonable. If you appreciate the services that CJSF delivers by giving you informative, educational, entertaining, you know, radio programming.
At the least.
At the least.
Yeah.
And at the most, in its full breadth, like, being a hub of creative community for students and beyond in the Lower Mainland.
Yes.
Please do consider, you know, voting yes on February 10th to 12th via SFU mail for our campaign.
Yeah.
And it's, and I mean, again, it's not just SFU.
What?
I mean, like, it's not just CJSF, but it's also The Peak, the student newspaper, right? Like,
yeah, like, student voices. Like, you get to speak up. They do so much as well. I think as well as, like, for me, like, I'm excited about this as well because you're literally investing in services that do so much for you, that are so accessible, so welcoming, that teach you so many important skills about communication, like, life skills, like, confidence, like, you can learn about, like, about writing, like, through the SFU newspaper. CJSF, I learned how to go on air at the radio station. It was insanely easy. It was shocking. It was scary. I was like, why are these people letting me go on after just 1 hour of practice? But they did. And they trusted me, and they believed in me. Like, everybody here wants to support students and wants to support the community. That's all they want. And I think, like, so I think that's why it's important that you consider and think about it. Think about what you want your student experience to be and the services that you deserve access to that you can make happen. mm-hmm. that you have agency.
Exactly. And I mean, Sasha, your show's just gotten better and better throughout the year since you've been doing it. And I think that's very true for like everybody else who like does a really like long running show at CJSF. Mm-hmm. The more you listen to them, the more regularly you tune in, the more that you also start to hear their mode of storytelling improving or mm-hmm. their vision for the program becoming more cohesive or more focused. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, again, it's not just about CJSF and it's not just about the Peak, but also Embark Sustainability, which mm-hmm. is a hub to learn more about environmental justice yeah. here at the Burnaby campus, and also SF PIRG. I mean, where would we be without SF PIRG and its actually people-centered research programming, right? So much of what we understand about, like, I guess, like, resistance movements around the world and in Canada, you know, we get a lot of that information from organizations such as PIRG that are student-led, that are people-led, and that are centering on the act, you know, on the people, on the working class and stuff like that, right? Yeah. So it's very important for you to stay in touch with what's happening here for the referendum. Again, that's February 10th to 12th via SFU mail. If you are not a student at SFU, if you are such a, like me, an alumni, or if you are a community member, tell the people in your life who go to SFU to vote yes mm-hmm. to this question.
Yeah, definitely.
And we're gonna, you know, hopefully this passes, because these are really important organizations here at the school, but also like the services that we offer. It's not all just about Fund Drive. Like, we can't just only rely on Fund Drive. We have to also, you know,
yeah,
the student levy.
Yeah, exactly. I think like it's about like having a student support, like the community that I think we serve the most. Like, we are like, the station is literally in the heart of campus, in the building where like students flock to, where we spend all our time in. And like, we want to hear your voice. We want to hear support. We want to hear what you want to get out of the station and give it to you. And we can do a lot. Station's great. Embark's great. SF PIRG is great. So definitely consider. As a fellow, as an undergraduate, I'm going to vote yes. And I'm excited to do so. So I encourage you to look into it more if you're interested.
And I'm telling everybody who I know who is still a student to vote yes, basically. Yes. Yeah. And if you are a student at SFU, you want to get involved in our campaign, you can do so. You can go over to CJSF social media, CJSF Talk, mm-hmm. or CJSF Music to learn more about it, or visit us at the station here in the Student Union Building. If you are a community member, you can also get involved. You know, we can use some hands when it comes to like postering or also getting the word out there. Thank you so much for tuning in to Typically Tuesdays today on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are hitting the top of the hour, and that's it. Thank you so much for joining me
today,
Sasha.
That's all, folks. Thanks so much for having me. This is so fun. Long time coming.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I think there will be more in the future, you know?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. This isn't the last you've heard of me.
No, because you can also listen to Sasha's show every Tuesday from 3 to 4. It's open mic. Mm-hmm. Sasha's got a great mix every week, and it's always like a good kind of blend of like folk. There's some like good like metal in there. Yeah. Indie.
I kind of play everything, but I try to make it cohesive.
Yeah.
And then just make it a good listening experience. I don't talk a lot, so this is the, so you won't hear my voice that much next time if you didn't want that.
No, we want to hear more of Sasha.
Oh, thank you, Leslie. Yeah,
we're going to bring in the creature.
The guest, the creature.
All right. And final note, you know, remember, the referendum supports creativity.
Yeah, that's what the big talk of today that we talked about, and that creativity is possible for everybody. You don't need to be an artiste to do mm-hmm. it. You just need to enjoy the process of making something, and going through the hard work can be okay with being uncomfortable with just doing it.
Having a supportive community of fellow creatives also helps a lot, and that's exactly what CJSF is. Mm-hmm. You know, vote yes in the referendum. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, they really want me to be campaign manager.
Yep, you're the one.
I'll catch you again very soon. Thanks for tuning in. I've been Leslie. Bye-bye.
Bye.